We're talking about police officer turnover and the future of the law enforcement profession. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Police morale has plummeted. Retirements and resignations have soared. A survey last month of nearly 200 police departments revealed a 45% increase in the retirement rate and an 18% increase in resignations year over year. So that's from the nonprofit Police Executive Research Forum. Are you an officer? How has the stress of the job and calls for reform affected you and your department? Join in 800-642-1234. Jim Palmer is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, the state's largest police union representing more than 10,000 law enforcement officers. Jim, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
Good morning. We see that massive turnover nationally. What's the view like inside Wisconsin? Is there a similar level of flux?
Well, there are no cumulative numbers, or there's no data that tracks staffing on that kind of basis. But from every indicator that we can see, the numbers of police officers here in Wisconsin and what's happening to them is consistent with what we're seeing across the country. And that is a pretty consistent decline in the number of applicants and an increase in the number of officers that are retiring and leaving the profession entirely.
So what do you hear then? What do officers tell you about why they're leaving?
Well, a number of things. I think there's, it's a stressful job. Certainly, it's a dangerous job. And the fact of the matter is that people today there are a lot of occupations that they can go into that pay better and don't require them to, risk their safety and the livelihood of their families. Also, the public scrutiny, I think, plays a significant role in the decisions that officers are facing. And so there's just stress, danger, and a lot of public scrutiny. I think all of these things are kind of coming to a head. And the last year only served to exacerbate that dynamic, which has been growing for a number of years.
Yeah, I want to pick up there on that public scrutiny, because there's this broader narrative out there that police are leaving the force due to the protests, due to high-profile police killings, and that their power is being called into question. Is this narrative accurate for the rise, for the increased turnover? Can you make these connections and inferences?
Well, I think there is certainly the public perception, a perception amongst officers that they have less support amongst the general public than they once did. Our organization has been conducting a statewide poll through the St. Norbert College Strategic Research Institute for the last 9 years, and we've consistently found that that's simply not the case. That in fact, officers do enjoy a great deal of support amongst the general public. And that, the public vastly believes that keeping the community safe from crime is a top priority for our state and local governments. And so these are messages that we try and get out there. And at the same time, confront and discuss and engage in a meaningful dialogue some of the issues and concerns that people have about policing in the state of Wisconsin.
You've been doing your poll for nearly a decade now. I mean, taking that pulse on what the public feels about policing. And I was surprised by this year's results and that respondents are overwhelmingly approving of how their local police force is doing their job, almost 4 in 5. Do you think this is aligning with the national sentiment and the protests of use of force and racial bias?
Well, I think what we see not only from our poll, but from other national polls is that the narratives that we see reflected, particularly in the national news media, aren't reflective of where people really are in terms of how they feel about police. People have concerns. And one thing that we have seen is that a majority of individuals, both Republicans and Democrats, I believe that some amount of change needs to occur in policing. And so that's something we want to be receptive to. And also, I think it's worth noting and important to note that while officers in Wisconsin, the law enforcement community enjoys a great deal of public support, there are disparities between different demographic groups. And we think it's important thing for us to acknowledge and work to remedy that as best we can.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, as we look at sentiment about the policing profession and what it means for retaining and recruiting officers. You can join in. What's been the hardest part about being a police officer? Have you recently retired from the force? How did the job change over the years? Join in at 800-642-1234. Jim, what has morale been like since the murder of George Floyd among officers?
Well, from every indicator, again, that we've seen, it's been pretty devastating. Again, regardless of where I go throughout the state, when I interact with our members, our officers, our chiefs or sheriffs, they consistently, with very few exceptions, identify the challenge of you know, having fewer fewer qualified applicants applying for positions. And that is something that is really concerning when you consider that, you know, the number of retirements does appear to be up. And just in Milwaukee, for instance, on the last this year, I think the number of retirements is up 30% over the year before. And that doesn't even account for the fact that the Milwaukee city budget additionally eliminated 120 officer positions. So that is very concerning. We think that's counterproductive to the kind of policing that Wisconsinites want, particularly communities of color, because the fewer officers we have, I think we're going to see less, proactive programs such as community policing. And our polling has consistently showed that communities of color in particular, they want more officers, not less. And they want officers, you know, working in their neighborhoods and getting to know them and engaging in the kind of community policing and relationship building that's crucial to bridging the gap and strengthening the relationship between officers and the communities they serve.
The perception of law enforcement being a very dangerous profession, you know, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, police officers, it's not among the nation's 10 most dangerous jobs. Do you think, have an inflated sense of how dangerous the job is?
Well, I think officers recognize that they have a dangerous job, and you know, we're fortunate that they also have a high level of training, and so that does allow them to protect themselves to a significant extent. I do think it's law enforcement is a unique calling, and we really honestly believe it is a calling that, you know, for someone to go into a profession that requires them to, you know, put the safety of their neighbors and of others in their community ahead of their own, is pretty extraordinary, and that's something we ought to celebrate and work to protect and promote. And I think Wisconsin has made great strides, and the law enforcement community has made great strides in elevating the training and certification standards. Our polling consistently shows a lot of support for that. And I think the last thing we want to do is restrict or diminish those standards in order to bring more people into the profession. Because I think that would be detrimental to some of the things that we're trying to confront in terms of the relationship between law enforcement and the communities they serve.
So, Jim, what needs to happen then to recruit more police officers?
Well, there are some agencies throughout the state that I think have kind of stand out in terms of the strategies that they've employed. The city of Wausau, for example, for several years has been very proactive in highlighting the diversity and the mission and the mission of public service in the law enforcement profession. I think that has served them very well. I also think, you know, law enforcement generally needs to more proactively engage in the public discourse and confront a lot of these issues. You know, our organization, we discussed our poll earlier, we're the only law enforcement group in the country that undertakes such an effort. And we think it has served us and our members throughout the state very well. It's allowed us to, you know, establish relationships with communities of color and to really play an influential and more assertive role in the public dialogue on these issues. And we think that's something that agencies have been doing with increasing frequency over the last decade, but that's something that needs to continue to grow.
You know, you mentioned Wausau, and it reminds me of Wausau's police chief, Ben Bliven, who we've talked with on our show, and we've talked with about the killing of George Floyd. And something that sticks with me in talking with him is that he said he loves the policing profession, but when he saw that killing, it went against everything he stands for in his profession. And he says that you need to have the training that supports equity and equality. So I'm wondering, is it the tone, the morals, the values that you set at the top of your police department that impacts, you know, how many people you can recruit and who stays.
Oh, I think there's certainly something to that. And you know, we've spent a good portion of the last year trying to distinguish the training and professionalism standards, high standards that we have here in Wisconsin against those that we've seen in some of these horrific instances, such as the murder of George Floyd. Because, you know, Wisconsin, by and large, is you know, well ahead of the curve compared to its peers throughout the country in terms of training, in terms of the types of type of training that we have and the rules by which our officers' actions are governed and considered. There's a lot of transparency and accountability here, and we think those are important distinctions to draw. But it's certainly that, you know, the morale and the mission of an agency, it stems from its leadership. And you know, Wisconsin is blessed with wonderful sheriffs and chiefs by and large who do great work in leading their agencies and trying to fulfill their public mission.
Let's bring in Laura in Madison. Laura, what are your thoughts?
Hi. I have always been a big supporter of the police and how hard their job is. But through this, you know, past year, my, you know, feelings have started to change. And I know someone whose, you know, brother was a police officer. And he said that he got out of it. He found that about a third of the cops are good officers. They really want to, you know, help the community. About a third, he said, are people who just, you know, say, this is a good paying job with good benefits. I show up, I leave the job at the job and go home. And he said fully another third are angry people who are just looking for the opportunity, any reason at all, to beat the crap out of people. Excuse my language. Beat the heck out of people. So I'm wondering if your guest has any ideas on how to weed out on the front end. I mean, if they already don't have enough people applying, how do they be rigorous in weeding out the people who have the temperament problems?
Who are not treating it as a calling. Yeah. Jim Palmer.
Well, I appreciate that perspective. You know, I think it's not in line with my experience in dealing with officers. I mean, frankly, and I've represented quite a few officers. Our organization represents year in and year out most of the officers involved in things, critical incidents such as officer-involved shooting. And I have yet to meet an officer that reported to duty on any particular day, you know, looking to harm someone. Frankly, officers just want to go home and be able to return to their families. You know, as far as how we elevate and strengthen the law enforcement profession, our organization has long supported advancements in that area. In fact, we've supported legislation that's working through the state legislature now that would, you know, mandate transparency in the hiring process. And that's something that we fully support because, you know, we recognize, and I think officers recognize, that no one wants a bad cop out of the profession more than a good one. And, you know, it's those bad officers that are few and far between that really mar the profession in a way that's, you know, destructive. And it's something that we need to combat and do what we can to elevate the quality of the candidates and the people that are entering this profession and doing this terribly difficult job.
Laura, thanks for calling in. We're talking with the head of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, Jim Palmer, as we look at resignations, retirements that connect to the national conversation on what police do, how they're funded, how to better hold officers accountable for excessive force. Have you recently retired from the force? How did the job change? What's the hardest part of being an officer? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Jim Palmer on the Ideas Network. We're talking about policing on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Evers last month signed 4 policing bills that grew out of the work of the Assembly's Task Force on Racial Disparities. We had reaction from Democratic Representative Sheila Stubbs, who co-chaired the task force in the wake of the shooting of Jacob Blake by a Kenosha police officer last August.
I want to be clear with you, Kate, and the rest of your listeners, that these are bills are not the only bills that we think are going to, you know, properly address, but it's a start. It's a step. It's a foundation. It's the floor of the entire criminal justice system. But I do think there's still so much work that needs to be done.
How do you feel about the status of legislation on accountability and use of force? 800-642-1234. We have Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Let's bring in another call now. Greg is joining us from Stoughton. Greg, hi.
Hello. I have a couple issues that I want to bring up. One, I'm shocked that there is support of the police union for the proliferation of guns. They always have, even assault rifles. Second, the support of Donald Trump at a time when the insurrection showed so many policemen there. The support of the union for Donald Trump, it offends me. Third, under under George Bush Jr., there was a RAND study that told us we had more to fear from white-wing extremists than we did from inborn Islam or Muslims.
Greg, let's pause there and get Jim to respond on the role of and influence of police unions.
Well, I think that, you know, police unions nationally have not been have not served a constructive role in the public discourse in the way that they can. You know, I mentioned our polling and the fact that, you know, we try to use that as a foundation, you know, for the last 9 years to go around the state and play an assertive role in this discussion. But again, we're the only police group in the country that has done so. Last September, we put out the most, you know, cumulative series of reform proposals of any police group in the country. In fact, we're the only one that has. And I think that's, you know, I don't say that to pat ourselves on the back necessarily, but I think the fact that, you know, police unions, law enforcement unions across the country haven't been more proactively engaged in the public discourse on these issues in a meaningful way is problematic.
Well, I want to get your take on this. When a use of force policy was sent to Governor Evers' desk, it had been amended in the assembly with the power and influence of the Milwaukee Police Union, driving that amendment through to remove criminal liability for an officer who reasonably should have intervened when another officer is illegally using force. How do you feel about the union's actions there and this amendment?
Well, I think the change that was made, frankly, was the bill as it was originally drafted raised the questions of some in the law enforcement community as to, you know, whether or not we were inviting unreasonable scrutiny and creating some new standard. And so I think the end result as amended more closely reflects the recommendation of the Task Force on Racial Disparities, in which I had the distinct honor of serving on. It was a very worthwhile undertaking, and I'm proud to have played a small role in that. So I think, you know, there are some that have been critical for that organization, you know, kind of coming in late and voicing its concerns. But, you know, there were a lot of police groups, law enforcement groups throughout the state that were engaged in this discussion. And I don't think that that change fundamentally undermined the bill. And it certainly didn't fundamentally undermine the task force recommendation.
Jim Palmer, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association. Let's go to Mary now in Waukesha. Mary, hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My question has to do with the use of force. I recall a time when a police officer would disarm the individual, maybe use a taser gun, or a person would be shot in the leg. And it seems we have turned into a different priority now, where the person is automatically shot dead as opposed to just disarming or disabling the person. I'm wondering why and when that change occurred.
Mary, questioning the escalation and where use of force policies are, Jim.
That's a fair question. I think it kind of highlights, you know, some of the misconceptions that people have, whether it's from things they see in television. But it's never been the case that officers were trained to, shoot an armed individual in the arm or in the leg. I mean, officers are trained to stop the threat, not only to protect themselves, but certainly to protect the public. With regard to tasers, taser policies throughout the state generally are authorized when an officer has what they call lethal coverage. That is another officer that has his gun drawn. Going back to, kind of the beginning of this discussion, when we have a shortage of officers and some real genuine police staffing challenges, it increases the likelihood that an officer is going to be confronting a situation alone without the same availability of backup, and that they're going to have to resort to lethal force because they don't have that, that reinforcement.
So you were on the speaker's task force, developed 18 recommendations. When you look at use of force policies and what is needed, what kind of increased oversight do you support?
Well, in Wisconsin, we already have a lot of oversight. And I think that's an important thing to talk about and acknowledge. I mean, we have, police and fire commissions here in Wisconsin, which is civilian oversight. And we've had it for over 100 years. And so I think that's notable. But in terms of other forms of oversight, I think we have an independent investigations law, as you well know. And Wisconsin was the first state in the nation to enact a law that mandates an outside investigation by another agency of any officer involved death. And that was in 2014. I mentioned earlier, there's legislation that we strongly support that would mandate more transparency in the hiring process. So to eliminate the chances for an officer that perhaps shouldn't be in the profession from simply dodging trouble in one agency and moving to another one that might not might be unsuspecting of their prior personnel history. We want to avoid that. We want the best officers that we can, and we want to diminish the opportunities for officers that shouldn't be in the profession to do the job.
Jim, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Jim Palmer is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Professional Police Association, the state's largest union representing more than 10,000 law enforcement officers. Stay with us. We take a look at the neobank industry and payment apps like Venmo, Zelle, and Chime on how to keep your money safe and what hidden fees to watch for. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.